Well, good to be back. I feel like seeing old friends, so I don't need to say too many welcome words. May I just ask you to embrace God's word and pray together? If you have a Bible with you, will you please? Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we have your word, and we ask that you will speak to us and teach us the Bible. Not just the information, but help us to reflect on, to think upon what kind of God you are and what kind of people you want us to be. Help us to be a community of faith that we encourage one another to live out a godly life, to reflect that God, you are in us, that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, that he reigns in our lives so that we don't live for ourselves, but we live for you. We commit the following time to you. We ask you to speak to us and touch our hearts. We pray all this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. How many of you think you eat too much during Chinese New Year? And how many of you actually get on the scale and see how much weight that you gain? Probably not, right? Probably not right away. You probably need some time to work it out and then say, okay, now I feel better to do that, right? Because the immediate result might be too devastating. Well, we are like this. If we don't see immediate consequence, we may not be too concerned about it. Back then, when I was in seminary, when, as Jeffrey said, I was in Dallas, a friend of mine talked about that. When he was, before he went to seminary, he was working long hours, and every night after dinner, before he went home, he would stop by fast food, drive food and get something. Okay, usually those are not good stuff. Burger, fries, milkshake, whatever, you name it. He's an Asian American, so he's not like, he's not huge, but he knows he's not quite right. But he doesn't feel anything or doesn't see anything. He kept doing this over and over for a long period of time. Then one day he decided, I probably need a body check. So he went on to have a blood test. But he couldn't do it. He said his fat in his blood is so thick that he couldn't even do a blood test. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know how can that be. Maybe he's exaggerating it, but you get the idea that the result is so bad that, you know, even though he didn't see it from the mirror, he can feel it inside his body. When we don't see immediate consequence, we might not see the truth, or we might choose not to see the truth. Today, I would like to talk to you about creation care. You probably heard that from many different areas that, okay, as Christian, we need to care for this planet Earth. You know, God gave us this creation that we need to take care of. You probably heard many people saying things, oh, like, if the way we do it for X amount of time, then the Earth will be gone in X amount of time, like that. Well, I'm not an expert on environmental studies, so I'm not giving you all those datas, but I'd like to have a theological reflection with you. That as Christian, how shall we treat this planet Earth? As Christian, as we are being created by God, how shall we treasure this creation? So I'll, instead of going through scripture verse by verse, have an expository study, I would like to have a theological reflection with you to think about, okay, these are the concepts we know, but how to apply in our life and how to live out our faith because of God, because of what we believe, how does that drive us to act differently? So if you have a Bible with you, please turn to Book of Colossians. We just read about earlier. Now, by looking at this, we will think about, okay, what's going on, how we consume this planet Earth, that what kind of impact we made on, and what kind of consequence that caused, and how should we live our life differently. So before we look at out what we shouldn't do, let's first look at what we should do. In the book of Colossians, let me see if this works. Okay, Now we know greed leads to overconsumption. Okay, but let's look at the scripture. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Now, think about this. Paul is saying that we know that we've been raised with Christ. Christ came back from death, and now we have a new life. So we need to keep seeking things above. Keep seeking is not just praying about it. You are seeking. You are intentionally looking for it. You are desiring for the things above. Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. It's because He is our majesty. He is a glorious Lord, and He is seated on there next to God, and we are looking forward to that. Set your mind on the things above, not the things on earth. Now, those are the things that we should care more. Doesn't mean that things on earth mean nothing. No, those are important, but what's on earth, what's in heaven is more important. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is alive, is revealed, then you will also be revealed in Him, with Him in glory. We know that we are no longer living the old life. We've been dead, and Christ has given us this new life that we should look forward to be with Him in His glory. Now, it's under this concept that because we are looking forward to Christ, we are looking forward to sharing His glory, it's because He is the majestic God, then we shall live differently. So, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Now, we know these kind of behavior we should put to death. We should no longer live on that. We know that we will sin every now and then, but we should not continuously live in sin. But one thing I would like to highlight is greed, which is idolatry. Now, greed is wanting what I want, right? Is fulfilling my desire. This is greed because this is idolatry, because I'm treating myself as God. When I'm above all, when I'm more important than you, when I'm more important than others, when I'm more important than God, then that's idolatry. Now, once again, before I go on, let's see, it's because we know Christ is already seated in the right hand of God. It's because we have this desire that we set our mind in heavenly things that we should put to death of our earthly behavior, especially greed, which is idolatry. Now, but then, it's often that we overconsume for our own desire, for our own pleasure. That is because of our greed, that we don't care about the environment. Now, most of us will consider the cost and health, right? If something is organic, oh, it's very expensive, but it's very healthy, okay, I might do it, right? If something is not very healthy, but it's very cheap, okay, I might do it. Now, if something is cheap and healthy, oh, surely I will do it, right? So we usually, you know, weigh among these two. But we are thinking about our own health, not the health of the earth, not the health of the others. We usually try to maximize our pleasure by using the least amount of cost, having the maximum return. That's what we want. That's why we like to buy things in the bargain, right? Now, but this is actually feeding our own greed, and we are not concerning about what's going on in this planet Earth. Let me start with the ocean. Now, we all know that ocean is a huge part of this ecosystem. And you don't want to mess up with the ocean, right? If the ocean is polluted, many things you go in your body is polluted as well. We know that not just ocean mammals, but also the ocean will circulate carbon dioxide into oxygen. So it's very important for our health, for the very air that we breathe. Okay, we know that ocean is a huge part of the ecosystem. It's very important, but we all often overconsume to a point that we don't even know how bad is going on in the ocean. Many of us like the seafood. Now, I'm not just saying Chinese. You know, even Western people, like shrimps, fish, human beings in general, we consume all kinds of seafood. It's get to a point that, remember, we're not consuming it for our survival. We are for survival, we are consuming for our own pleasure. To a point, we're overfishing. Now, when we fish, we no longer use line fishing. We use a net. We cast a huge net in the ocean and get the maximum amount of fish that we can get. Again, cost effective, right? The least amount of cost for the maximum return. When we try to catch fish like this, we will not just catch fish. Many, many ocean mammals are being caught in the nets. You can see all kinds of, like turtles, sea lion, dolphins, sharks, you name it. You know, all kind of stuff are also all in the net. We call it bycatch. We don't mean to catch it, but and it's not like after you catch a turtle, you put it back in the water, because it's after a few hours, they're already dead. You don't need it, but they're already dead. So we are killing many mammals unintentionally, or maybe intentionally, that we don't care, because we want to get the maximum amount of fish that we can get. Now, and it's not just those mammals. Think about this. Now, to make it simple, let's say there are big fish, middle-sized fish, small fish, and tiny fish in the ocean, right? And most of us consume the middle-sized fish, like the tuna, the salmon, like that. Well, salmon's not in the ocean, but you get it, right? Now, when we eat so many middle-sized fish, those are gone, right? When there's not many middle-sized fish in the ocean, then the big fish has nothing to eat. So the big fish will be gone. When there's no big fish and no middle-sized fish, then there'll be more and more small fish. Then there'll be so many small fish that they'll eat all of the tiny fish. So the tiny fish will be gone. Well, when they have nothing to eat, then the small fish will be gone as well. Can you see how we're harming the ecosystem because of our own pleasure, not for survival? Well, more than that. Now, when we cast the net, we dump the whole thing to the bottom of the ocean and just grab all the fish along, and we're breaking everything along. So you can imagine, like, when we cast things like that, we are disrupting all the corals, all the plants. You know, we're breaking the ecosystem. We are hurting the ocean. And that left a lot of nets in the ocean. Now, have you heard about people saying that, hey, we should not use straws when you drink, or not use plastic straw? Save the ocean. We heard that a lot, right? But according to one study, the plastic straw is only about 0.03% of the plastic in the ocean. So, now I'm not saying that we shouldn't save the plastic straw, but by saving the straw, really it's not helping much, because it's really a tiny, tiny issue. But about 46% of the floating plastic in the Great Pacific Garbage Patch came from fishing nets. But we're not talking about that. We are looking at the plastic straw, but we're ignoring the fishing nets. So all those fishing nets are made of plastic, and when they're broken, they won't bring it back to and mend it. They just throw it in the ocean. And we're dumping all kinds of garbage into the ocean, and we're hurting it, but we're not even noticing it. We as consumer don't even know what kind of consequence we're causing, what kind of harm we're bringing to the creation. Not just about the ocean. How about the tropical rainforest? Now, have you heard about this every now and then in Brazil or South America that there will be some huge rainforest fire? A few years ago, there was a fire in Brazil that lasted for weeks. And I was like, how come? Now, if that happened in Australia, it makes sense, because Australia is very dry. But Brazil is a tropical rainforest. It's very humid. Right? Okay, there might be a wildfire, but it should be easily put out. How can it go for days and days and days? Well, some are intentional, some are quote-unquote unintentional, burning down the rainforest. For what? To make into a farmland for them to raise cows. Because, you know, well, Brazil has some pretty good cow, beef, meat, and those make more money. But Brazil doesn't have the landscape for wild land. So they just burn down rainforests so that there are more places to raise cattle. Now again, we know that how important rainforest is to the ecosystem. But when we eat those beef from Brazil, have we noticed that they are literally changing the landscape? And because they can create more profit for themselves. We are over-consuming the earth, but we are not even noticing it. Now, think about this. How shall we treat this planet Earth? This is not ours. God gave it to us for us to be good stewards, to take care of it. For a long time, when I was in the United States, I have a driver license without a car. So I often drive the cars of others. Like, you go to the airport, I drive you to I go with you and I drive your car back. I do that all the time. I don't know why my friends and family always ask me to do that. But the first time I did that, I did it with my brother. That he went to the airport at night. I went with him, and before he left, and he said, "Hey, do you know how to go back?" I said, "My first time going on the highway, but should be okay." "But you sure?" "Well, there's no other choice now." Then I left. Well, there were a few moments that were a little bit scary, but I was able to go back home. And I was not worried. Because why? Well, he was driving an old Camry that he had accident before. Hey, if I crash again, as long as I'm alive, I should be fine, right? But when I was in seminary, we were having a car wash to raise funds for the youth to went on, I think, a mission trip or a youth camp or something like that. So we, after church, you know, we all the youth and I, we get outside and help them. If you drive a car, drop a key, then we drive through the alley and then wash the car and bring it back to you, like that. And we usually take turns to drive the car to the alley and like that. And then there was a moment that a youth worker came to me and said, "Give me a car key, you drive this one. Don't let the youth touch it." It was a nice Jaguar that when I start the engine, I thought I hadn't started yet because it was so quiet that I couldn't hear it. And then I was like, I was so nervous. Like, it was just like, 30-second drive through the alley. But I was like, this is a nice car. I need to be very careful. I don't want to have any damage on it. We shall treat our world like that. That is a nice car. It's a beautiful creation that God created. And he just borrowed us the key to drive it for a while. And we should take good care of it. Because we don't own this thing. It is God's creation. It belongs to God. We should take good care of it. And not just for our pleasure. I wouldn't drive the car to say, "Go on, let me have a walk over there." Right? You need to take good care of it. Don't let our greed drive us to consume whatever we want. That's idolatry. We should think on the things above. How to think in a godly way, how to treat this world, this creation, as belongs to God. Now, I got bad news for you that our greed leads to overconsumption. But I have worse news for you. It's like others, not ourselves, need to bear the consequence of our greed. It's because we don't see the immediate consequence. In fact, others are suffering because of our greed, and we don't even notice them. That makes things even worse. Go back to the ocean. Now, we eat a lot of fish and ocean products. Well, have you thought about how come it's so cheap? Now, many people in Thailand get on the ship. They thought they are going to get paid nicely, but in fact, they are actually being tricked or forced to go on as cheap labor or free labor to get on a ship, working long hours without having anything in return. They could go on months without going back home. And they live in a very, very bad condition, working all day long, sleeping a little bit. If they're sick, they need to continue to work. These are called human trafficking. They got trafficked. And some of them, I heard stories that, like, if they died, they just fall down to the ocean. Like, just throw a dead body and say, oh, there's an accident. Like, if you try to fight back, the captain actually have a gun or some weapons, and they threat to kill you, and they might actually do, and they don't need to worry because they can just throw you to the ocean and an accident happen. Nobody cares. So people are literally dying for us to have more seafood to eat. Others are suffering. They are facing the consequence. And have you heard about some small countries? How come modern day they're still pirates, even in like the Caribbean, something like that? Why would there be pirates around, trying to rob other other boats? Because those used to be fishermen. Now, I'm not saying that they are right in robbing others, being pirates, but they used to be fishermen. But they are actually using small nets or line fishing. But now, like a big boat comes, sweep off everything. They couldn't catch any fish. They got no income. They got nothing to eat. So they're forced to be pirates. Again, I'm not justifying their action. But yes, if you see, why would that happen? Bad people do bad things because they're being treated badly most of the time. People hurt others because they're being hurt. So we see that when we hurt the ocean, when we consume it, we're not just breaking down the earth, we're hurting others. We enjoy what we can enjoy, but the poor people usually are the ones who are suffering. We talk about that, the pirates. Now, this is in Bangladesh. I heard about a story about a Christian organization. They send out people to help different developing countries. And in Bangladesh, there's a story that there's a farmer. He has a small farm that he relies on the stream as the only water source to have his crops. It's usually pretty steady, so he was okay. But because of climate change, the rainfall is not very stable, and so the stream would dry down every now and then, and that caused him to not having any crops, and he couldn't have any food. He doesn't have a living, and that's how the Christians try to help them, the missionaries. But we see that poor people are more vulnerable to climate change, and when we enjoy what we enjoy, they are the ones that suffer. Now, to make things very simple, let me oversimplify it. During summer, it's very hot, so we turn on the AC. But by turning on the AC, we make the world even hotter, warmer. Well, but if it is a couple more degrees warmer, then we turn it the higher on the AC, so we still stay warm indoor. But what about those who doesn't have AC? They are the ones who suffer from it, right? It's not that hard. We can imagine poor people are more vulnerable to climate change and all kind of disaster. Now, how changes in the environment impact the poor? Poor people are more affected by disaster. Now, you can imagine, recently we know that there's a huge flood in New Zealand, right? Now, if you are more well off, it's easier for you to face a disaster. But for those who are poor, especially those who don't have insurance, once the flood comes, you wipe out everything. You got nothing at all. You lost everything. The cost prevention and survival are higher related to the income. Now, so like say, okay, there's no water, no rainfall. Okay, no rain drop, then let me find another way. Okay, I can buy some water, whatever. But they don't have the money to buy that, right? So it's not easy. They're more likely to be displaced, and they're more affected by the different conflicts. Now who is going to voice out for them? How can they bargain or fight for their own survival? Think about this. Now, when we don't have food, well, we probably still have food. There's always storage, right? But when they don't have food, they don't have food. They don't have crops, they kind of thing. They kind of say, okay, this season is not very good. Okay, I don't have this patch of harvest. Okay, I can wait for next season. No, because they literally go day by day or week by week. If they have nothing to eat for 1 week, they got nothing to. They have no crops for 1 week. They got no food for 1 week. So they don't have the food storage. They don't have the insurance. They don't have the resource to go through all the tough times. So we can see that they are more vulnerable. But when we consume, they suffer from the impact. Can you see that? How scary is our greed? Now, we look at this, that we see greed leads to overconsumption. And we see that others, not ourselves, need to bear the consequence of our greed. And then we think, okay, then what can we do? Can we make things a little bit different? Again, let's go back to this, the theological drive. That is because we know that this planet Earth belongs to God. It's because we know that God is more important than us and everyone else is created equally, that we need to care for others, not just ourselves. That's why we have this theological drive, we want to make things differently. So I would encourage you to care for the Earth and others. Not just think, how can we maximize our own pleasure, but we need to think, how can we care for the Earth? How can we care for others? Now, how can we do that? Let me encourage you to be more intentional in being more informed. No matter who you are, you might be an expert in environmental study, or you might not know anything, you can still always learn more. Try to be more intentional to see how can I be more informed? How can I know more so that I can pray accordingly? Think and pray more. Think what's going on. Think how can I change? Pray. Okay, if I know what's going on in Bangladesh, I pray for them. If I know what's going on in different areas, in Thailand or in Vietnam, I pray for them. This is how we can change ourselves, because we see that people with faces are suffering. No, we are not just looking at numbers. I will give you an easy way to be more informed. If you have Netflix, you can try to find this Seaspiracy. Now, I don't agree with everything it says, but I think it's a very good starting point. I've done some research on human trafficking. And I've known that there's different people from Thailand being bought on the ship, but this is the first documentary that I saw that they actually interview those who are trafficked to the ocean. So that would be some information. And again, I don't agree with everything it says, but I think there's something good for us to think about. For example, it talks about. Are you guys aware that sometimes when you buy seafood, they have the label, is even dolphin safely, or ocean safely, something like that. Now, they claim to say, okay, by this kind of fishing, I catch these fish without harming dolphin, so this fish is dolphin safe, or it's like sustainable fishing. Okay, I buy this kind of I'm selling this kind of seafood, but I catch it in a way is sustainable. Now, you have some people say, "Oh, you see that label? I don't need to feel guilty. I can eat those kind of seafood." But you have to think about how do they issue that kind of label? How do you know is by catching this kind of fish? You never hurt any dolphins or other fishes, right? How do you reinforce that? And think about this: if you are a fisherman, and I'm the one issuing this kind of label, and if you pay me to get this label, do you think there'll be some conflict of interest going on? Like, so don't just see, ocean friendly, okay, dolphin safe, okay, sustainable, then I can buy it, I can consume it. Think more. Think, is this going on? What's going on? Is it really that easy, that simple? I encourage you to be more intentional, to be more informed, think and pray more. And also, we can always make lifestyle changes. Now, I'm not telling you to drop everything that you want, but I'm saying that overall speaking, all of us can make some changes. Now, I'm not saying that you no longer have any seafood, or you no longer eat any beef, you know, become a vegetarian or whatever, but you can always make changes. For example, you can use energy more efficiently. Like, you don't have to say, okay, from now on I'm not going to turn on AC, but maybe you can adjust the temperature a little bit, or maybe there's some electronic device that you don't use it often, you can unplug it so that you can save more energy. We can always make small changes to reserve, to use energy more efficiently, and also consume less. Think, do we really need that much? How many stuff that you bought that you never use? Do we always need to buy this kind of thing? How many food that we throw away? You know, we can still consume, but can we consume less? Now, how to make changes? I think you need to pray about that and do it on your own. I cannot teach you. And I think all of us live differently, but all of us can make some changes. Now, but I have to say, from the point of environmental study, customer education doesn't work. Like, it has been proven that by educating the customer will not make an impact. For example, how many years you've talked about using less plastic bags? You tell the customer not to do it, it's not going to work because it's not convenient, it's not cost effective. So they have to change the rules. It's by setting up the rules, the government say, okay, we will not let you use plastic bag and you pay for it. Then that happens, right? So customer education doesn't work. But I'm not talking to you as customer. I'm talking to you as Christian. We change because of God. It's because of this theological drive that we change. Because we know that it's exactly, we are all sinners, that we are all looking for ourselves. We because of this greed, we are treating ourselves as God. Because that we know that there's idolatry, so that we know that if we get a choice, I will want to maximize my own pleasure. But it's because I'm not talking to you as consumer. I'm not talking to you as customer. I'm talking to you as Christian. That we do this for God and do this for others. And that can have long-lasting change. Years ago, I wanted to go to Nepal for a mission trip. I've been planning that for a long time. And I have a friend over there. He's the president of a seminary, and I was getting ready to go. But 2 weeks before I went there, the earthquake happened, so I couldn't go. You know, I still wanted to go, but it's like, for me to go there, what's the point? I couldn't do anything, and I'm just there, you know, consuming food and energy. So I decided not to go. I waited for 2 more years before I could finally get there. When I got there, I visited the people in the village, and I asked them about how the earthquake impacted them and stuff like that. And I told them, I've been wanting to see you guys for a long time, but I couldn't get a chance. But I've been praying for you, and I'm so glad that I finally see you." And they're touched that a complete stranger from another country, never seen them, would be praying for them before, for years before we finally met. Imagine what is it like if one day, when you go to another country, or maybe when Christ return is in heaven, we see other brother and sister and we tell them that, "I've been changing my lifestyle. I've been praying for you so that you will not suffer from my consumption." What kind of impact would that be? What kind of connection would that be? Let's think about the others. Let's be willing to change because of God. Please bow down. Brother and sister, I would like to ask you to have some reflection in the way you consume. Do you think of God? Do you think of others? Think about your behavior. Think about your pattern. Do we always go for the cheapest thing that can maximize our pleasure? We want to think what is better for the earth. How can we prevent having others to suffer from our consumption? Are you willing to think more above things above so that you live differently on earth? Heavenly Father, we come before you and we admit that we are all sinners, that very often we let our greed drive us to a point that we forget you and forget others. We pray that you open our eyes, give us this reflection, and help us to see the needs of others, to see the consequence of our actions, and help us to change for your glory and the benefit of others. Help us to see this beautiful creation belongs to you. Help us to enjoy it, treasure it, and be good steward on earth. Help us as a community of faith that we encourage one another to live our life differently so that people will see you reign in us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.